Many of you have seen the story, read the story. We can go over it again, but let's get to the phones. Your reaction to Jameson Williams not arrested. People want to stress that, not arrested. But the police are being investigated as to why they didn't arrest J-Mo. It appears he broke the law. And you can hear him on audio saying, I play for the Lions, bro. I play for the Lions. And then the officers on the scene said, we don't care. But once the sergeant and lieutenant got involved in the game, a telephone ran all the way up to the tippy top. Mysteriously, someone was a hero. That was the phrase used. You're a bleeping hero. And they were allowed to go home.
We're not sure who that hero is.
Right. Well, the lieutenant is who we think, but we don't know what he said and why the decision was made.
Lieutenant Dan.
Yeah.
So when you guys get pulled over, you can say, I'm Batman.
Right. I'm Batman.
Right. I can say I'm a spicy garlic guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's John's?
Let it play
Let
out.
Let this play out, officer.
Yeah, honestly, as much as it's about J-Mo.
Let's just see what happens.
As much as it's about J-Mo, it's about the police department.
Yeah.
And they're the ones investigating whether or not this was conducted properly.
It's more so about the police department and now the DA's office in regards to what do they do moving forward. Because it, trust me, Jameson Williams, going to be a black eye. Police department, going to be a black eye. How far do they go with this? Because there's no evidence. And you could, yes, there is body camera footage, there's audio, but they, when they let Jameson Williams and his brother go, there went the evidence.
Sure.
And so it's how do you convict someone with no evidence?
It's a good point. Let's get to Jackson and Warren. You're on 97.1.
Hey, so my opinion on this whole take is like this, okay? His brother clearly has a concealed pistols license permit, right? Allows him to conceal a pistol in his vehicle. Jameson answered the question the officer asked him. You know, whose gun is it? Well, it's mine. Okay, my brother has the right to conceal it. I don't see how Jameson is in any which way, shape, or form, responsible for being in trouble.
Because as soon as he says it's his and it's under his seat, it's not covered by his brother's CPL.
And I understand it. And the officers on the site agree with that, by the way. The officers on the site thought it was an issue.
Well, of course, but now the captain who let him go clearly did not. I mean, now was he an extremely biased Lions fan? We don't know. But regardless, the CPL doesn't just, you know, what if J-Mo lied and it's not his gun? Now that's bad on the police department for not further investigating.
Right. I mean, it could have played out a couple of ways. If J-Mo doesn't say, that's my gun, his brother, I believe, tried to say they're both his. If they don't
feel both.
Right,
sure.
And it sounds like they were very cooperative at the beginning. So if that
Absolutely.
Cooperation continues, I don't know if they're do they run the serial numbers on the guns to find out that it is actually J-Mo's? Now you got a bigger issue. But if they're cooperating, if they're cooperating, maybe they don't even go that far.
Right.
Sure.
And they were cooperating. I mean, this was not a hostile scene.
Right. Yeah.
It was, you know, midnight, but it wasn't like there was any animosity or any, nobody was on edge. It actually felt pretty, I think cooperative was the word used by J-Mo's lawyer.
But
it was cooperative.
I mean, it all goes back to decision-making, personal responsibility. It's an 8-hour class to get your CPL. And in the offseason, you got plenty of time to do it. You had time to buy the gun. And if, because of where you live or because of who you are, you feel you need to carry some personal protection, I 100% support that. But go through the process. This is not a constitutional carry state. I know he's coming from Missouri, which is, but that constitution ends at state line and shouldn't, but it does. You do it, but if you have a concealed carry, there are other states that you can carry in because of reciprocity. But the fact of the matter is, he felt he needed to carry the gun. Okay, that's your decision, and it's your right.
Absolutely.
All you have to do is take an 8-hour class, pass the class, you get your CPL, and this is not an issue.
Right. You've been in Michigan playing professionally. This is now your third season. If you want to have a firearm for your protection, that is protected in this state.
Yeah.
You're allowed to have a firearm. There are just certain things you have to do if you're going to have it with you in a vehicle. For instance, if you don't want a CPL, and John, you can correct me on this. I'm not as well versed in it. If you don't want to have a CPL, but you do have a licensed firearm, you have to transport it differently in the car.
Yeah, it has to be out of your reach, and it can't be easily accessible. So if you're going to do that,
follow the rule.
Put it in the trunk.
Yeah.
lock it up, put it on. If you're in a truck and,
if you're
and you don't want to put it in the bed, then you lock it up and you put it under the back seat.
And again, just because we're going to get people who go, this shouldn't be the way it, this is the way it is in Michigan.
Yeah.
And you live here as a gun owner in the state, you have to know the laws and you have to follow the laws. Guns are serious and it's a serious responsibility to have one. And Jameson Williams in this moment did not follow the law. Now, does that mean his life is going to end? No. And everybody thinks when we bring this up that we're trying to run him out of town or put him in jail. I don't think the Lions are going to suspend him over this because there isn't an arrest.
No.
But I think the Lions should be looking at this seriously going, hey, dude, we want you on the field with none of this stuff.
Right.
None of these distractions, none of these headaches. We're trying to win a Super Bowl.
And this happened before the PED.
Right. So I'm sure that only frustrated them further.
Yes.
Okay. Let's get Rick in a truck. Rick, you're on 97.1.
Hey, John, Jim, happy hump day.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, what's going
How
on,
you
Rick?
Doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I have to really disagree with you, John. How many times are we going to biopsy this kid? He's a grown man. He's a cancer. You got to get him. I'm willing to package him with James Houston, J-Mo, and a couple first-round picks for Max Crosby. Guys like him really would fit in with a Raiders team. You talk about his numbers and his play. Well, the kid, he hasn't played. He doesn't have numbers. Are you going to keep making excuses to let him get those numbers? And what is that going to do to the team if he never does get those numbers?
So my question, Rick, is I know you say you disagree with me. What do you disagree with? What did I say that you disagree with?
Well, keeping him around, basically. Giving the kid, you know, let his numbers outplay the bad things he's been doing.
What I said was if his level of play is better than the level of distraction, then yes, they will keep him. If that level of distraction raises above his production and what he is offering the team, then yeah, you move him on.
Right. I totally agree with that. But how many distractions have we had with him already? And it's his, what, third year?
I guess where I'm at with it is he's not a free agent. He's under contract this year and next year. I suppose all players are available via trade. I'm not trading him unless it's an offer I can't refuse, right? But the idea that I have is he should play this season when he's reinstated, post-suspension. And if he plays well, we look into fifth-year options. But if this continues to be a pattern, then I do think the Lions have the option to not pick up the fifth year, roll him back for year number four, and they could still extend him beyond that. My point is I'm going to keep giving him chances because these aren't, you know, we have to scale the level of what he's doing. Like, can he outperform it? That's what he has to do. He has to go out and perform.
Right.
And he has to stop having this stuff happen.
And just because this is a conversation that's going on Twitch as well, Michigan is an open carry state. He could carry that anywhere. Well, not anywhere, but he could carry it walking down the street. He could be riding his bicycle and have it on his hip as long as you could see it. As soon as it's in the car, and I don't, it doesn't matter if it's in the, if you could see it through the window, it is classified as concealed.
So the way that's supposed to work is, and it seems impractical, right? The way it's supposed to work then is he can show it walking around, get in his car, and then he has to like put it in the trunk or lock it up, or it can't be accessible. And people would say, well, what's the point of having your firearm on you if you can't access it? You want to have it.
Then get a CPL.
Exactly. That's where I was walking it into.
It's very easy in the state of Michigan. And you could argue, this is not about arguing, should there be should you have to get a CPL or should it be constitutional carry? The law is you have to have a CPL if it's going to be concealed. When it's in the car, it's concealed.
And in this case, you know, people were pointing out his brother was driving and maybe that could have shielded him in this situation. I'd imagine his brother doesn't drive him everywhere. So does he always lock up his firearm when he drives in the state of Michigan, or has he gotten away with this for a while? I don't know. I mean, he should just get the CPL so he doesn't have to deal with the headache.
I mean, he's got time now.
Well, he could
do it on Sunday.
248-539-9797. Next up is Keith in Ypsilanti. Keith, you're on 97.1.
How you guys doing this morning?
Good.
All right, so I got a couple comments, man. My first comment is J-Mo didn't do anything wrong, man. We sitting up here talking about him. He's only 23 years old. He's not a child, but he is a young adult, you know, and he lives in the state of Michigan, in the city of Detroit, where things go crazy. But at the end of the day, he didn't do nothing wrong. Didn't get arrested. Not talking about getting penalized by the team or the NFL. So why are we talking about this? Too many positive things about the Lions right now to talk about negative things. We have a lot of negative things to talk about for the last 30 years. It's positive now. Let's talk about nothing.
So you think we should just ignore it?
Just because the Lions are winning?
No, I'm not saying ignore it, but at the end of the day, he didn't do anything wrong by the eyes of the law, by the eyes of the team.
Well, that's what's being Keith, in the eyes of the law, that's being investigated because it appears the police did him a solid, right? That would mean they allowed him to.
The police are being investigated, not J-Mo.
Right, but they're being investigated because it appeared he committed a crime and got away with it. That would mean he committed a crime. Like, let's not gloss over that part of it, right?
I mean, is it a crime to have a gun in the state of Michigan? The only thing he didn't do right was get a CPL.
Yeah, and I believe it's a felony.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could say that's stupid and it would be pled down to a misdemeanor, but, like, let's not say, is it even a crime? No, it literally is a felony, Keith. I mean, come on.
I mean, yes, it is. I understand that. Yes, there is. It is definitely a felony, but he's a professional football player that loves the city of Detroit and he bees in Detroit. It's not like these other players that play and they live in Royal. They live way out. They don't even see the people. You know, like Jameson is he's a young guy.
I think people appreciate that about him. I don't dispute that. I think he has a bond with the city and people love how much he loves the city.
Yeah, he's not neighbors with Jim Costa.
Yeah, he's not living in Royal Oak, the hoity-toities. Yeah. No, I get you, Keith. I'm not fighting you on it. I understand that he is beloved and people look out for him and they want what's best for him. I understand that. And I think people get defensive over J-Mo, and I think it's because of those reasons. I understand why they do, but to me, this is the opposite of people out to get J-Mo. This story is literally a story because it feels like people
were protecting him.
Protected him so much so that he appeared to have committed a felony, and we're just going to... He runs a fast 40. Guys, that... You could like it because you're a Lions fan, but that's not how the police are supposed to operate, and J-Mo needs to avoid that situation to begin with.
Yeah, I know. I think as we get into this more throughout the show, we've got to look at the police as much as and how they handle this versus as J-Mo. J-Mo seems to be taking all the strays. And
he's the celebrity. But
he's the celebrity
in
our sports station, but this is the Detroit Police Department.
Yes, yes.
And you know what? Anybody that's trying to say he didn't get preferential treatment, he did. Because the second he let it be known that who he was, because the first two cops didn't know who he was. And when he let it known that he was a celebrity, they brought the sergeant in, and that's what started changing this entire thing. He was going to be taken into custody. He wasn't because he let it be known he was a celebrity. Sergeant comes, and then this whole thing
snowballs. Exactly. We got a ton of calls to get to. 248-539-9797. For everybody saying, why are you talking about this? You guys want to talk about it, too. It's 97.1.
Injury attorney David Feminino has had great success. And I've been telling you about him for some time. Just listen to some of the successes and results that David and his team have been able to get for injured clients. $3.5 million for one client, $5 million for another, and it keeps growing. $11.5 million for one single individual client. You need an attorney that will fight relentlessly just like that for you. You can call and speak to David right now by calling 855-65-CRASH. You can always go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
Talking J-Mo, we'll get your thoughts. We'll go to the phones. Emmett and Taylor, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I just wanted to clear up a little bit of the law. John actually cleared it up pretty good, but if you have a CPL, you can carry it anywhere in the state. You don't have to hide it or whatever. If you don't, as soon as you have that, what they call open carry, you can have it on the outside of your belt loop. If your shirt covers it up, it is now illegal. If you go in your car, and as soon as you close your door, it is now illegal. You know, and people do not realize that when people say it's an open carry state. As soon as even with your shirt, it is now illegal if your shirt covers it up. I pay $50 a month for an attorney for just in case something ever happens. God hope it never does happen.
Right.
But, like, if you have a CPL and I'm driving through the country, like, Illinois does not recognize Michigan's CPL. It's my responsibility to know where and where not am I allowed to have it. And him owning a gun with a CPL or not, you should know the laws. And, you know, it's just a little bit ridiculous because it's actually, you know, a dangerous thing. And it's nothing to mess around with. And then him being a great, you know, great player, people want to cover it up and act like he did nothing wrong when he did. It's his responsibility as an adult to know you're carrying a weapon that can kill somebody. You should know everything about it, ins and outs, all the way around.
Right.
And it's just, one of the things
about the CPL classes is, one, they educate you on the gun laws, mm-hmm. and they talk, and you, if you're going to be a gun owner, then you should be responsible and know the laws. And if you don't want to get a CPL, that's fine. But there are ways to transport the gun legally. This was not it. And he's right. As soon as you close the door, it's concealed.
Let's get to Frank in Detroit. Frank, you're on 97.1.
Yeah. Good morning, fellas.
Hey, what's up?
All right, man. I just wanted to say, like last caller, he hit a couple of good points about the know about laws and everything. So to me, it's about growing pains. I know he's not a kid. He's a young adult. My thing, I'm worried about this young man because the things he did is like, I ain't going to say terrible, bad distractions, but very little. Like, he bought the gun, registered in his name. But my thing is, his brother got the license. Bro, we don't need to have two guns. Where we going that we need to carry two guns? I got mine. We okay. Leave yours at home. Is no one helping him out a little bit? Like, man, you can gamble, but not on your team. No, you can't gamble at all, J-Mo. Let's don't mess with this. Come on. It's only been 3 years. He's still kind of young. So I don't think he's a bad kid or a bad young man. I think it's just really growing pains. It's like it's my gun. I bought the papers, but I ain't get my papers. I'm waiting them on in the mail. Or I didn't go to the class yet. It's just like one step right, he would have been all right. But he took a step left.
Yep.
So it's just like, I really believe Detroit is the best thing from him because his players and his team, the coaches we have, I believe if he go to another team, he won't make it in this league another 5 years because I think he's just going to go down the wrong path because his surroundings, his life surroundings, his brothers and them, come on, man, I know you're grown, but go to the right, not left. You try, you want to do right, but you got too much pressure on you. You know, that's what I'm just trying to say.
Yeah, like, no, I get what you're saying, Frank. I do. And I want to be careful in this. I don't want to say it's like his teammates can help him, but they can't do it for him, right? I think that's the key here. Everybody points to give him a mentor, help him out. The people in his life need to do better. He has to do better.
And I mean, obviously, I was 23 at one time. It's
same.
A lot longer ago than it was for you. And there are a lot of things I wish I had done differently at 23. Not everybody's going to make great decisions. Some bad decisions cost you more than others. And this one is going to cost him, you know, the fact that we're talking about him today.
I want to read this ticket text. It says, "You guys are bleeping idiots. Blowing this out of proportion. Other league-wide receivers have done things illegal or suspicious or worse and not been suspended. Rashee Rice, Jordan Addison, etc." Why is this a competition?
Well,
congrats. He didn't do as bad of things as other receivers did. Why is that the ticket text this
morning? And we have at no point said that he's going to be suspended. In fact, I think he won't. I would be shocked if he's suspended. Now, if he was caught carrying the gun in Allen Park, not in Allen Park, but in the facility, now that's an NFL issue. You're not allowed to have any guns, any firearms, even if you have a CPL and you're carrying it legally and it's legally stored in your vehicle. If you're on NFL property, you're not allowed to have that. That's not where this happened.
Look, he's going to be given a ton of chances to make this work here in Detroit. He's already had three, you can call them minor issues. I think he's going to be given even more opportunity still to make it work here, but he needs to do a better job following rules, following laws, and he needs to earn a long-term spot on the team. I don't think it should just be handed to him because he's J-Mo and we like him and he can dazzle. He has to earn it by putting in the work and avoiding all the nonsense.
And here's what happens. If everything happened the way as we believe it should have, if he was taken into custody, now at that point,
it's a headline temporarily.
Sure, it's a headline, and it happens before the PED. It happens all that.
It's not great.
I don't think he misses any time at that point because, again, he didn't break necessarily any NFL rules, and they're going to let the judicial system play itself out. He may have been suspended down the road, but you do have what is called the ability to plea down to a misdemeanor.
And that may have happened, and that may have avoided...
More likely that would have happened.
And you avoid what now looks like a cover-up. Yeah. Well, cover-up may be the wrong word, but a looking of the other way by the police department. They look bad, and then he's on video saying, I'm a Lion, I'm J-Mo, I play for the Lions, as though that's going to get him out of it.
Right.
I don't...
Well, it did.
And it did. It did. So for everybody says that this guy gets a raw deal and no one treats him fairly, he's actually given bonus treatment. Better than you and me treatment. We got Sharon Moore coming up at 7:35. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, boys, a 47-year-old Detroit police officer has been charged with domestic violence for a second time in Macomb County. Lewis Wilson was arraigned on Wednesday on a charge of misdemeanor domestic violence second offense, which is punishable by up to 1 year in jail. So police say that this incident happened on October 22nd. Wilson got to his house and told the victim that he was going to execute her. This victim was able to get to the neighbor's house, call police. That's all I know about this incident he's facing now. But back in 2018, he's also accused of domestic violence, actually pleaded guilty to hitting his wife in the face. Now, on top of these charges, he's also faced other charges as well. In 2022, he was charged with operating a vehicle with a blood alcohol content of 0.17 or more. That charge, however, was reduced to operating a vehicle while visibly impaired. So we'll see and wait what comes of this. He did plead not guilty to the second domestic violence charge. The Big Ten Conference says it will not take any further action after a fight took place on the field between Michigan and Michigan State football players at the end of their game last weekend. So basically on Tuesday, the Big Ten said that they thoroughly reviewed all the video evidence that they have of the incident and said there was not enough evidence to determine exactly what happened, and they won't be issuing any suspensions or fines.
Yeah, I know Spartan fans aren't going to be happy about it, and I just think unless you had better footage, you were going to have a hard time selling a definite suspension for anybody. And I know Khalil Mullings was at the center of it there, and it kind of looks he may have been stomping. You can't definitively prove it. So yeah. I know MSU fans aren't happy about it, and I understand, but I didn't think they were going to suspend him either.
Yep. So J.J. McCarthy's return to Ann Arbor seems to have been rescheduled. So earlier in this week, Sharon Moore did say that McCarthy was going to be back inside the Big House as an honorary captain for Michigan's game against Oregon. However, McCarthy then went on his social media, posted on Instagram a few hours after that was announced, that he would not actually be showing up on Saturday. He said, quote, not this weekend, but in due time.
Yeah. I mean, Blake Corum was back last weekend. It was great to see him, and we got a big cheer. Would have been nice to see JJ, but it'll happen.
Yeah, in due time. Yes. Two New York Yankees fans were ejected from Game 4 of the World Series after ripping a ball out of the glove of Mookie Betts. It's a crazy scene to rewatch it. Midway through the bottom of the first inning, Betts, you know, attempted to catch this foul ball, kind of leapt up at the wall, and did appear to catch the ball, right? But then there's these two fans sitting right there in the first row. One of the fans just like pries the glove open, rips the ball out. The other guy, friends, was like there, grabbed Betts' other hand. Either way, they were escorted out of the park by security. One of them, a season ticket holder. And apparently they say that they were just kicked out for that game.
So they're back.
They're welcome back to Game 5. That seems crazy to me, but
hey, the Yankees got a game to win. If they can steal a ball.
Yes, any means necessary.
I guess so. Hey, when you're down 3-0 and now 3-1, it's still a wild, wild scene watching them reach over.
Oh my gosh!
It's
just
very aggressive.
To pry his glove open. You see it in slow mo, and you're. I mean, that dude was aggressive.
Yep. That's Heather with the news. Coming up next, Sharon Moore, Michigan head football coach. It's 97.1. We've been talking about it for a good chunk of the morning. I just want to reset exactly what this story is, because we're getting flooded with ticket texts. Some people may have only heard bits and pieces. Jameson Williams was pulled over. Well, his brother was pulled over, but he was in the car. And he avoided arrest after guns were found in the car. Detroit police are being investigated for what happened.
Guns weren't found. They were
disclosed. So let me just go through. This is from Channel 7, so we don't get any of the facts twisted. This is from Channel 7. 2 weeks before he was suspended for violating the NFL's performance-enhancing drug policy, Lions wide receiver Jameson Williams was nearly arrested by Detroit police over a gun found in a vehicle. Now, as a result of questions by Channel 7 News in Detroit, the department is investigating why Williams was released from custody after officers had previously planned to take him to jail. The star wide receiver came into contact with police after midnight on October 8th. So this is not yesterday or last week. This is October 8th. Police pulled over a vehicle being driven by J-Mo's brother. near the corner of Connor and Jefferson Avenue. The vehicle was stopped, police say, for speeding. So speeding after midnight,
yep.
October 8th. Commander McGinnis reviewed the body cam footage. Oh, no, sorry. I'm out of order here. Am I missing a page here on this story? I am missing a page here on this story. John, if you want to pick up where I left off here.
Oh.
Page two.
Page two. Okay,
this here
question
is,
by yes, an officer,
here you go.
Williams,
I have a million
brother,
sheets of paper, yeah, okay?
Williams' brother disclosed that there were two guns in the car, which is what you're supposed to do.
It's the right thing to do.
Yeah, well, it's the law to do. You have to disclose. The first laid in the back seat, while the second, according to police, was under Williams' seat. Officers found that gun in the back seat and was registered to Williams' brother, who had a concealed pistol license, or CPL. While the gun under Williams' seat was registered to him, that's Jameson Williams, not his brother, he did not possess a CPL. The officer concluded that that was a problem and told Williams he was going to be taken into custody for carrying a concealed weapon. It is clear from body cam footage that the officer does not know who Williams is, but repeatedly the wide receiver would remind him, I play for the Lions, bro. I'm Jameson Williams. Minutes later, he said, bro, I play for the Detroit Lions. Minutes after that, he said once more, bro, I play for the Lions. The officer told Williams that his position did not influence whether he would be arrested. At one point during the stop, Williams' brother told police that the gun belongs to him, but later on, Williams would admit that the gun was his.
And that is a huge sticking point in all of this.
Yep.
Because if both guns are his brother's, who has the CPL, there's nothing to see here. But when J-Mo fesses up, oh, that's my registered firearm, and it's not properly stored, it's what opened up this can of worms, and the officer said, well, we're going to have to arrest you. Until things changed.
Yeah. Why don't you pick up from here?
Yeah, I mean, so from there, we're reviewing the body cam foot. Nope, this is the wrong sheet.
Yep,
again,
I got the gun for protection, Williams said. Do you guys know where I live at? Detroit. Williams was handcuffed and placed in the back of the squad car. In an interview on Monday, Detroit Police Commander Michael McGinnis supported the officer's actions. I feel that there was probable cause to arrest, and he was under arrest by the patrol officer. And because of that, he should have been conveyed to the Detroit Detention Center and processed. But Williams wasn't taken to jail. Instead, a supervisor was called to the scene. The department says that's not unusual for a high-profile stop, and is a precaution to make sure that policy is followed in cases that could create media coverage. Within a few minutes, a sergeant arrived on the scene. Unlike the responding officer, the sergeant was a Lions fan and immediately recognizes Williams' name. Body cam footage also showed that the sergeant's cell phone wallpaper was a Lions logo. Over the next 30 minutes, the sergeant would make a series of phone calls to higher-ranking officials, trying to determine if Williams needed to be arrested or if the driver's CPL covered both his and Williams' gun. At one point, the sergeant is seen leaning into one of the arresting officers, whispering, "I'm so mad at you." Commander McGinnis, who reviewed the body cam footage, said he believed the sergeant was referring to both arresting officers in a jovial way. After conferring with multiple supervisors, the sergeant makes two more phone calls, and it appears Williams is about to be taken to jail. Be advised, he's coming in. You might want to make special accommodations, the sergeant says in one phone call. He's gonna be going for carrying a concealed weapon, he says in another. But minutes later, everything seemingly changed. The sergeant spoke to a lieutenant who said Williams should be released from custody. The lieutenant's side of the conversation cannot be heard. Okay, beautiful. I'm good to let him go. The sergeant asked before hanging up, "You're a expletive hero. Thank you so much."
So as we read through that, and as I interpret that, and you guys have your own interpretations, you can call in. We've got pages of Ticket Text, 248-539-9797. It would appear that a guardian angel stepped in high up within the police department and said, "He plays for the Lions. I know who he is. Let's not cause too much trouble. Nothing to see here." That's why this is a story. It's J-Mo which creates the headline, but it's the police department that has their own investigation into, did they let someone off who was committing a crime? Right. That someone is J-Mo, and that's why this is something we're talking about on a sports station. What I don't understand is, like this ticket text we just got. John, we're reading excerpts from Channel 7. Texter says, Channel 7 out here making trouble, sabotaging our Super Bowl run. This is infuriating. The media need to focus on the important stuff. Well, I think abuse of power is important. I think if police aren't going to hold everyone to the same laws, that's an issue. I think Channel 7 has no issue with the story. If you have an issue with the story, you have an issue with the conduct of the people involved, the police and JMO. I don't know why it's the news outlet's fault for telling you what happened. You don't have to like it. I don't like that this is the story today, John. I don't like that JMO continues to be involved in things where he doesn't follow rules and laws.
Yeah, and when you sent me, I was oblivious to what was going on yesterday. A lot of running around. You sent me this news article, me and Tom, later in the day, and it's an instant eye roll. What now?
Yeah.
And I think one of the important questions is, outside of what's going on with the police department or the DA's office, if they decide to move forward with the investigation and ultimately charges, for the Detroit Lions, how big of a deal is this?
Yeah, they knew about this.
Yeah, Jameson Williams told them immediately when it happened, October the 8th.
So they knew about this even before he was suspended for the performance-enhancing substance. So anything Dan Campbell has said, it was with the knowledge that this had already happened. Mm-hmm. So and Dan has come out and said, like, there's still more rope, right? They still have a level of trust in him.
He's going to have to work his way back.
Yeah, pay for your sins, I think was a phrase he used. And that's kind of how I view this. Like, I don't think that this should be something where they're freely handing out contract extensions or fifth-year options. I do think he has to go out and earn it. He has the second half of this season where he needs to perform on the field and avoid the nonsense, and then he can continue to be here. But he has to earn being a Lion long-term. This is a concerning pattern where level of focus has hurt Jameson Williams. The level of focus, the attention to detail that's not there. And if you want to talk about sabotaging a Super Bowl run, that to me is a bigger issue than anything a local news station is going to publish. Act right. Follow the laws. Follow the rules. Then you're not in this position to begin with. More of your thoughts, your phone calls. It's 97.1.